So people always ask me, they say, Father, why are you a priest in Wichita, Kansas? And I tell them, no prophet is accepted in his own homeland. So the New Yorkers, they literally had to chase me out, like the people from Nazareth had to chase Jesus out. So that's where I find myself here today. Not really, actually. It's the exact opposite of that, you know. I'm here because all of you welcomed me here. Thanks be to God. If we could sum up Jesus' teaching in one word, if we can sum up who he was, we could sum it up in the word love. Love is who Jesus is. In fact, we hear in St. John's Gospel, as well as the letters that St. John wrote, he says that God himself is love. Throughout the entirety of the Bible, we hear the word love referred to over 300 times. Right? It's a word that we hear, that we're inundated with. And today in our second reading, we hear St. Paul in his letter to the Corinthians give his great poetic treatise on love. It's a reading that anyone who's been to a wedding before, I'm sure, has heard. Right? We hear this. Love is patient. Love is kind. You know, and in fact, yesterday I was having breakfast with another one of the priests, and we were talking about, you know, the readings for this weekend. And one of the things that to me was so interesting was we were talking about how this letter comes up in weddings all the time. You know, and then typically one of the bridesmaids comes up to read it and just reads it so very passionately. You know, love is patient. Love is kind. You know, you look out there, you know, you almost see tears streaming from people's faces. You know, the beauty of what's happening, you know, here in this, the celebration of the sacrament of matrimony. And you have St. Paul just summing it up so beautifully. But myself and this other priest, we were talking about it, and we were saying, if only everyone knew what St. Paul was really talking about when he spoke about love. Because what we in 21st century America think of love, in contradiction to what St. Paul thinks about it, are two very different things. When St. Paul wrote this letter, he was speaking about love in a way that I think we have lost as a society. We misunderstand what St. Paul is trying to say to us in this letter. Because for us here today, we see love as a mere feeling. In fact, I would say we see love as the highest of all feelings. Love is something that everyone wants to possess. Everybody wants to love others. But we really, when we really get down to it, we really don't understand what it means. Because when St. Paul speaks about love, as we hear at the end of the reading, he speaks about it in relation to faith and hope. Right, with those three, with faith, hope, and love, we speak of the three theological virtues. And virtue is not a feeling, but rather it's a choice. It's an act of the will. In fact, what virtue is virtue is a set of good habits. It's in choosing to do something over and over again that we ingrain something into our lives to where we don't even have to think about doing it anymore, right? The virtues are good habits, habits that manifest themselves in our day-to-day actions. And St. Paul tells us at the end of the reading that love is the highest of those virtues. Namely, that love is a choice. It's an act of the will. It's not something that we feel. Because I'll say this to people in the confessional all the time, people, they'll confess anger. And I tell them that anger is not a sin. Anger is not a sin in the way that indigestion is not a sin. Because we can't control the way that we feel. And anger is something that merely happens. Where sin comes in, where vice comes in, is when we choose to do something that is either right or wrong. So again, when we're merely angry, that's not a problem. Where the sin comes in is when we decide how we're going to react to that anger. Or on the flip side, how virtuously we're going to respond to that. How we're not going to allow that anger to consume us. So again, when St. Paul speaks about love as a virtue, what he's saying is love, at its essence, is willing the good of another person, simply as another person. Right? It's desiring what is best for them, no matter what that means for us as the individual. So for us, it's willing that good. And we see this. We see this when we understand what it means that God is love itself. That God, in his by his mere essence, by his mere nature, he always desires what is best for us. He always wants what is best. To the point where he doesn't matter what it does to him. The reason why we exist is because God loves us. Because God desired what is best for us. He gave us free will because he, even though he knew that we could misuse it, even though he knew that it would be at the expense of let's say, God's feelings, he knew that that would be what was best for us. And so St. Paul today, when he speaks of that virtue, he's not speaking of a mere feeling, but he's speaking of a choice, of an action. Because today we would say that the opposite of love is probably anger. But it's not that. Not in the sense of a virtue. In fact, anyone who's seen the movie Casablanca before, there's a great line in there where Ugarte comes up to Rick and he tells him, he goes, "You despise me, Rick, don't you? You despise me." And Rick gives, you know, ultimately, I mean, just the ultimate gut shot that you could ever hear. He says, "I suppose I would if I thought you were worth feeling anything at all. You're not even worth me hating you." You see, the opposite of love is a complete indifference. It's saying that I don't even care that you're here. At least when we hate someone, we're saying we're willing to acknowledge that they exist. We're willing to acknowledge that they're worth hating. In indifference, it's I couldn't care less that you even exist. So when we speak about love today, I think we mix up this idea. We, as opposed to saying that God is love itself, we believe that love is God. In other words, we believe that love, the feeling, the emotion, that's the thing that should be worshipped above all else. And the thing is that everyone, as I said before, nobody dislikes the sentiment of love. It's impossible. We all desire that. We all want that. But again, that's something completely different than what St. Paul is speaking to us today. Because what St. Paul is saying is he's saying that this love can be seen most fundamentally in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Because St. Paul, when he uses this form of love, what he points to is he points to the cross. He says that this love that I'm speaking of, right, this love that is patient, this love that is kind, this love that endures all things, is the same love that he describes when Jesus laid down his life for love of the world. He says that this is the love that I'm speaking of. Not mere sentiment, not mere emotion, but it's a love that is in action. Right? When we hear St. John speak of God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16, what we hear, that's the type of love. It's a love that is in action. God wills the best for us, that he decides to give us his only begotten Son, that he decides to lay down his life for us. That is the love that he speaks of. And that's the love, you know, why, you know, myself and that priest yesterday, why we couldn't help but chuckle. That when we hear that reading at weddings, what we should be looking to is not some mere sentimentality, but rather we should be looking at the cross. Right? Love in action is a love that is willing to lay down its life for the other person. It's a love that's willing to suffer for the other person. That's the love that St. Paul speaks about. And that's the love that Jesus, that he showed us in every single one of his actions. In fact, Dostoevsky, one of the greatest writers in the history of humankind, the great Russian author, he says, when we really come to understand what love really is, we understand that love is a harsh and dreadful thing in comparison to the love of our dreams. Because love demands everything of us. And it's for that very reason that love is truly beautiful. Because this is the way in which we can participate in the incarnation. This is the way in which we can live out the example that Jesus set for us. By individual concrete actions where we decide that we will the good of the other. We want what is best for the other person in our life. And that's why Jesus, that's why the pinnacle of love is arguably the most difficult teaching that Jesus ever gave us. And he says that we are to love our enemies. Right? We're not supposed to feel good about our enemies. That's something, again, that we can't control. But what we can control in our enemies is desiring what is best for them. That's the pinnacle of what it means to be a Christian. That's the pinnacle of living out the teaching of Jesus himself, is to desire the good of those who do not desire our good. Because that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. That's exactly why he prayed for those who were going to bring him to his death, to his crucifixion. And so for us this week, the way that we live out this principle, the way that we live out the virtue of love is by practicing it, is by trying to ingrain it in who we are. So in order for us to do that this week, I would suggest that we strive to do that in very concrete ways. Maybe we strive in some way to help our family members. Right, to will their good, to live that out, to do small acts of love. But also, too, may we strive to do that for someone maybe that we don't like. Maybe for one of those enemies. Maybe for a coworker that we see as lazy. Maybe we say, this week, you know what, I'm going to help pick up the slack a little bit. This week, I'm going to have some tangible thing, some concrete thing that I'm going to strive to do, because that is love in action, and that is the love that Jesus showed to us on the cross, and that is the love that we as all Christians are called to. So this week, may we put this great, beautiful, poetic work that St. Paul gave us, may we put that into action. And may we do that by living out love as a virtue and willing the good of the other simply as others.